Hey, this is Jim Larrabee. I'm the lead pastor here at First Christian Church, and this is our podcast. My prayer is that the words you hear encourage you, that they challenge you, that they build your faith and draw you closer to Jesus. So enjoy. Amen. Thank you, worship team. You guys can go ahead and have a seat. Glad you are worshiping with us this morning. Today is the first Sunday of our time change, and so hopefully you got it dialed in and right. If not, next week, you can try it again. So glad you are here connecting. We have a new service at 8:45. So if sports gets kicking in, if life gets crazy, and you're still like, hey, I want to get my church on, which is good, then you can kind of catch us at our 8:45 service. It's indoor, and you can be a part of that. We'll still have this 10 o'clock service, which is awesome. You guys are part of this one. And of course, at 11:15, we have an outdoor service. So if things are just a little bit crazy for you, and you're like, I still don't know if I want to come in, then we still have the outdoor service. And of course, watching online, got a ton of folks that watch online. Glad you're watching with us this morning, being a part of what God is doing here. Now, before we get into message, we got a really cool thing. I love doing this, and we haven't been able to do as many during this kind of crazy season, but we've got one this morning, and that is a baby dedication. And so I want to invite Andrew and Megan to come up with their little one, Alexis. And so there they are. And as they're making their way to the stage, I'm just going to move this over here. They're making their way to the stage. If you've never seen this in our church before, baby dedication for us, it's a chance to just establish really commitment. It's a chance for mom and dad, Andrew and Megan, to say, hey, oh, she's a cutie patootie. How you doing? Hiccups. Oh, hiccups. Oh, there you go. That's even better. So, hey, good seeing you, bro. Hey, sound guy and up in the booth, so we got you down. So I hope nothing goes wrong while you're down here. So hopefully not. All right. So love this moment. It's a chance for mom and dad to simply say, we are committed to Jesus Christ, and we're committed that our little one, Alexis, is going to be following there. And so we pray anointing on her. We're going to ask God to do his work. And it's a chance for us as a church to simply say, we're in. We're in with this. And so we will support also. So let me just have a few questions for you guys in this journey. So Andrew, Megan, do you see Alexis as a gift from God? And are you committed to raising her in God's truth, in God's grace, in God's love?
Yes.
All right. And you're committed to each other, that even in your own life, in your own journey, that you are going to be the kind of parents that reflect to her the same love that God reflects to you. Absolutely. Well, we're going to pray anointing here on little Alexis in just a moment, but we're not done. Church, and if you're online watching at home, I expect to hear you back to this. Church, do you know you're a part of this?
Yes.
You are. That means you're supporting. There are going to be Sundays when Andrew and Megan come in, and they're going to be tired. They're going to be exhausted, and you're going to know why. They're parents. This is how this whole thing works. And so pray for them as they're coming in. Be a part of, you know, investing in their lives, working in nursery, working in youth when she gets there, just being a part of supporting this family. So church, are you willing to embrace this commitment to support this family in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, in that commitment and with this commitment, we usually have folks come on stage, but we're not going to do that during this season. And so I'm just going to reach over here and just kind of put my hand on little one. And if you just want to put your hand there too, we're going to pray. I'm going to grab your little toes. Nope, not going to do that. I'm just going to put my hand on your... She's like, don't touch my toes. Father, thank you so much for Alexis. I love her heart. Already, you are doing an amazing work in her life. You can just see the life that's behind her eyes and just how you're going to be using her. So I pray anointing on her right now that you just give her the strength of Deborah and just the heart of Mary, the leadership of so many amazing men and women in this country. You anoint her with leadership as she's going to step out and be who you've called her to be. But most of all, you anoint her with your love and your grace, that she always knows that she's unconditionally loved, not only from mom and dad, from Andrew and Megan, but that she's unconditionally loved by you, Father. And so when that moment of choice comes for her to step into your kingdom as a daughter of the Most High King, she makes it readily and then runs hard after your heart, Father. And I pray for Megan and Andrew, that you anoint them with strength and courage. Give them all the sleep that they need to do journey, Father. You give them wisdom, you give them patience in the moments when even their relationship gets strained as they navigate this parenting life, Father, that you show up in a big and powerful way for them. Your anointing on their life, your anointing on this family. Holy Spirit, seal them right now in truth and grace. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen and amen. Hey, thanks, bud. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you. Oh, little one. Totally love that. Awesome. Well, speaking of things that we love celebrating around here, that's one of the reasons I love Christianity. I love Christianity, obviously, because of church, obviously because of Jesus. You know, he's the kind of that number one reason I love Christianity. But I also love Christianity for all the celebrations. We love celebrating in the Christian faith, and I love the joy that comes with that. And honestly, here at FCC, as much as we love celebrating Christian holidays, we find any reason to celebrate around here. We just love having fun and being filled with God's joy and God's life and God's hope. That's kind of one of the things that marks us as a church, and we enjoy that. Now, there are a lot of holidays that exist out there, and you'll understand why I'm bringing this up in just a moment, but there are a lot of Christian holidays out there that we all celebrate, right? Christmas. Do you like Christmas? I thought I'd get a little, you guys like Christmas. I don't know what happened this year. I'm really not sure. But next year is going to be your Christmas year. We love Christmas. That's the celebration of the birth of Jesus. And some people even extend Christmas, that whole song, 12 Days of Christmas. That's actually about the celebration of Epiphany for when the wise men would show up. And that gets celebrated in January. Some people stretch their Christmas, not just one day, but like 12 days. And so we got that. You know, there's Good Friday. We have a not this year, but traditionally we have a celebration of Good Friday, Christ on the cross, and we celebrate his sacrifice, and we look to that, which is amazing. And of course, the big dog next week, what is next week? Easter, yes, Easter. And so that's a big one. We love Easter. We're going to celebrate it. We've got services for it. By the way, these are the Easter service times. We just did them a little early. So you come, you celebrate Easter with us. It's a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the most important thing. It's a core truth of Christianity for us. We don't serve a dead man. We serve, we follow, we worship a risen Savior. You might could have put truth in the grave, but the resurrection proves it ain't staying there. And Jesus is the one that comes and brings that same resurrection power to our lives, to our marriages, to our parenting, all those things. That's why we love Easter and why we celebrate it. But there's one more event that often gets overlooked. Obviously, you know where I'm going with this. That often gets overlooked, and it's the week before Easter, and it's an event that is celebrated in the life of many Christians, and it's called Palm Sunday. Now, how many of you guys have ever heard of that, Palm Sunday? Some of you, is your tradition? Yeah, so some of you guys are like well-versed in this, which is totally fine, totally great. Some of you aren't, so I'm just going to give you a quick catch-up on what Palm Sunday is so we can be on the same page when we dive in. But Palm Sunday is always the Sunday before Easter. Now, you may be wondering, what's the big deal about that? It's the Sunday, the week, that kicks off everything. The week before the cross, the week before the resurrection, it is a big time in the life of Jesus. Some of his most important teachings are done during this week. Some of the coolest miracle things he does, he washes the disciples' feet. Communion is given to us during this time. So it's a really important week that starts with Palm Sunday itself. And Palm Sunday is actually the Sunday where Jesus came riding into Jerusalem. Now most of Jesus's ministry and life were spent in other places and other spaces and in the country, but he went to Jerusalem for Passover. He's like, this is the Sunday that I'm going to go to Jerusalem and we're going to begin Passover celebrations. Now, he's going to Jerusalem because he knows about the cross. He's like, that's where I'm going. That's my whole point. That's my purpose, to bring redemption to mankind. And so as he's getting ready to head into Jerusalem, the place is filled with people who are there to celebrate the Jewish Passover. And so here's Jesus. He's coming into Jerusalem, and the crowd start hearing the vibe. Jesus is coming to town. Jesus is coming to town. Hey, do you know Jesus? I saw him. He stopped at the Quickie Mart. He's going to be here. Let's go out and see Jesus. And so all the people that were in Jerusalem ran out to the streets and ran outside, and they watched Jesus begin to come into town. And that's kind of the story of how it all happens. And they're lining the streets And scripture tells us that as they're there, as they're lining the streets, they're shouting out, Hosanna, Hosanna, you know, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they take these branches, these palm branches, that look a little something like this. And they just basically start waving them around as they're coming in. They're waving these huge branches. This actually came from my yard this morning in my jammies. I crawled out under a palm tree. I think it was mine. It might have been my neighbor's. But anyway, and I cut one off to come show you this puppy. So anyway, so they would just wave this sucker around. And they were like, Hosanna, Hosanna, who comes in the name of the Lord. This is totally the Jewish version of a foam finger at a basketball game. That's what this thing is. And that's where the name Palm Sunday comes from. So if you're wondering, it's not palm as in hand, it's palm as in palm frond. And they'd wave these things around as a celebration of victory, as a celebration of hope. And so that was what was going on. Jesus is riding into Jerusalem. People are waving these palm fronds around, shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, here comes our King, here comes our King. And so every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, contain this story. So you can read a couple of different versions of it. I want to read what Luke says. So if you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, you can go to Luke chapter 19. This is how Luke tells the story of what's going on this Palm Sunday. And we're going to unpack a little bit of it this morning to help us understand some depth of meaning to what's going on here. But Luke 19 says this, verse 28. And after Jesus had said these things, he was doing a little bit of teaching. Hey, this is, I'm going to Jerusalem. There's going to be a cross. There's going to be some intensive stuff. So after he did some teaching, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem, because that's where he needed to go. And when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethania at the mount called Olivet, he stopped. He's like, I'm not in Jerusalem yet. So he's been walking up to this point, just kind of doing his thing. Jesus walked everywhere, doing his walking. He gets really close to town. And he says, hey, listen, there's something I need you to do. So he takes two of his disciples. We don't know which two, but he takes two of his disciples and he says, hey, there's a village right down the road. I know we're not in Jerusalem yet. We're only about a quarter mile away. But this last part, I'm going to do something unique and special, and it's going to mean some stuff. And so I want you to go to this village that's in front of you. And when you enter it, here's what's going to happen. You're going to find a donkey that's tied up, or a young colt donkey. And no one has ever sat on this donkey before. I want you to untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying my donkey? Then say this, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent away found it just like as it was told to them. And they did it. They untied the donkey. And then, of course, the owners came out. They had a little donkey, little alarm on it. Tree, 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 tree. Our donkey's getting stolen. So anyways, they go out and they talk to these guys. And, of course, the disciples say, the Lord has need of it. And so they're like, go for it. And they brought it to Jesus. And then all the crowds started just coming together in an amazing way, shouting Hosanna, throwing their cloaks on the ground. And as he rode in, and as he drew near, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice, praising God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they'd seen, all the miracles. And of course, they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven, glory in the highest. And Luke adds this little piece. I won't have a chance to talk about it this morning, but it's kind of cool. Verse 39. Now, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, you need to make all these people be quiet. This is Jerusalem. Use your inside voices. And Jesus answered and tells them, I tell you, if these folks were silent, the very stones would cry out. And that's because of the truth of who Jesus was, I believe, that even they would be crying out to who Jesus is. Now, reading this story, I remember the first time I heard it. I was probably in maybe first or second grade, and it was in a Sunday school class. And it was obviously right before Easter, because this is the only time we really talk about this story all that much. But I remember the teacher talking about it. He's like, hey, does anyone know the story of Palm Sunday? And I was like, what? And so she did a little thing. Now, back in the day, and this may show my age a little bit, but back in the day, they did flannel graph. You guys flannel graphers in the house? Oh my gosh, thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Two of us, we're probably gonna die tomorrow, we're so old. I don't know. So anyway, flannel graph, I've gotta explain this now. Flannel graph, you this sheet of flannel that you stick little pictures on it. It's not complicated, and so you do this little thing, and that's how you tell stories. Well, she was telling the story of Palm Sunday. And so she was putting Jesus up there, and then she put the little disciples up there, and most of them weren't straight. And, you know, I think my Sunday school teacher might have been drinking the night before, but that's a different story. But when she put these things up there, and she put the donkey up there, and she told the story of the donkey. And ever since that moment, I've been fascinated by this piece of the story. I've been like, why don't we talk more about this? There's so much that goes on in this moment, because when you're telling the story, it seems so random. Jesus feeding the 5,000 does not seem random. Jesus teaching, you know, on Mount of Olives does not seem random. But Jesus saying, hey, why don't you go get a donkey and bring it to me? That seems a little random. And so I want to kind of push into the story a little bit, because just imagine how this thing is unfolding. He's told his disciples, I want you to go find this donkey. He's going to be in the next town. And I'm sure they said, you got it, Jesus. Anything for you, Jesus. We got about $100, you know, from Ren and our wallet. We'll go buy you the best animal you can get, because you're Jesus. You know, we'll get you a big stallion, you know. We'll ride you into town like a king. And Jesus is like, no, that's not what I'm looking for here. In fact, I've got a purpose and a point, and I need you to follow me in this, because I have a purpose and I have a point. You might not understand it, but I have a purpose in doing what I'm doing. And so he says, I want you to go in town and get a donkey, one that no one has ever ridden before. It's going to be a small donkey, like a little colt. And like, okay, well, we still have 100, you know, coin here, so we'll buy you one. No. I don't want you to buy this donkey. You're going to go into town and you're going to see one tied up at a post at someone's house, and I want you to take that one. And I'm sure the disciples are like, what? just take it? And he says, yeah, just take the donkey. And if anyone comes out and says anything to you, here's what I need you to tell them. The Lord has need of it. Now, we talk about miracles in the Bible a lot, right? You know, Jesus healing the lame person, the blind person. You know, he even brought Lazarus back from the dead. But this is a miracle. I'm putting this whole little experience in the miracle category, because that's what happens. The owner comes out, and the owner sees what's going on, and the disciples are like holding this donkey about halfway out the door. The Lord needs it. And they're like, you got it. You got it. And they just kind of walk off. Now, if you don't believe it's a miracle that this whole thing plays out this way, then I encourage you, when you go home today, I want you to call Domino's. And I want you to order their extra large, meaty, meaty, super meaty. And when the gal tells you how much that is, $27.50, I want you to say, the Lord has need of it. And just see what they say. I guarantee you what they're going to say. I'll go ahead and tell you. Unless they're in here today and they're really going to hose me. But anyway, the person you talk to, they're going to say, wah, 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 and then you're going to go, okay, I'll have the Lord bring $27.50. You know, I'll bring the money because I need to pay for this. That's not what happens in the story. I mean, here's this little thing going on. I so wish that I could just really understand everything that was happening here. But it does teach us a few things. One thing it teaches us is that God is at work around us. Sometimes we can get so wrapped up in kind of what's going on in our lives that we forget how much God is at work around us, doing his thing. The disciples had no idea what God was doing. They just knew they needed to show up and ask for this donkey. The owners had no idea what was happening in these other places and pieces. They just know they need to be obedient. But God is at work, even fixing these small details. And I'm here to tell you that same God is alive and well in our life. And he's at work even in the details, doing his things that we don't even see, things that we're not. I don't know how long God had been working to set this moment up, but he'd been working to set this moment up. And I love just how the owners here are just responding in this powerful way. When I get to heaven, I want to see Jesus. I want to meet at least 3 disciples. I want to high five Moses for the whole water parting thing. Just think it's super cool. But I want to meet the owners of these donkeys. I want to meet these guys. Because I want to know their story, right? I mean, what in the world went on in their life? Maybe just a few weeks before they'd gone to synagogue or they'd gone to church and they'd really had a moment of God where they're like, God, I am yours and you're mine. I'm going to follow you. And God is like, yes, I love that. With anything. Like with your heart, yes. With your life, yes. How about your donkey? My what? My donkey? That's not my stuff. I just thought we're talking heart. I'll follow you with my heart. You want my stuff too? Yes, I'm going to need your donkey. Okay, God, I don't know how you're going to do that, but you got it. And sure enough, what happens a few weeks later? God shows up and needs this. And when these disciples say the Lord has need of it, they're like, I get it now. That when I surrender and I yield to follow God, and sometimes he asks things that I don't even understand and know, but I follow. And that's a piece of their story and how this whole thing unfolds. I love that level of obedience. I love that they're just willing. Sometimes I think about obedience and I think about big things. You know, God asking you to preach, or God sending you to Africa, or God, you know, those big things. That's where I'm obedient with God. But this tells us something, that real obedience is following God in the little things of life. Real obedience is following God in these everyday moments, how we speak to each other, being obedient with our words, you know, how we do our jobs. And that's just the job I got to do. You don't do it for your boss. You do it for the honor and glory of God. And we follow that obedience there. Engaging with people in our marriages, in our parenting, loving Jesus. That's where real Christ following shows up, is in these everyday moments of obedience. I can totally follow Jesus on stage here. Woo, yeah, Jesus, I'm following Jesus here. But really, where it really matters is, am I following Jesus on Monday morning at home? On Tuesday at work? You know, am I following the little things that he's given me in my everyday life? Mother Teresa said it best. She said, be faithful in the small things, for it is in those moments where our true strength lies. You want to measure Christianity. I'm not a fan of measuring Christianity, but if you want to measure Christianity, then look at your obedience. Then look at how willing we are to follow even in the small things. Can you think how different this story would have been if the owner would say, yeah, God, I am yours, everything but this, this, and this. And definitely not my donkey. I need that. And the disciples show up and he says, the Lord has need of it. Well, I'm not so sure I want to give it. There's just how different the story would have played out and everything that would have happened. But these guys are obedient, not ever even knowing the reason. Like the owners never know, by the way. At this point anyway, they don't know why the Lord needs it. The disciples didn't go, hey, we're hanging out with Jesus and he wants to do this big thing with Zechariah. The disciples just say, hey, the Lord needs it. And these owners, they respond in obedience. They don't know exactly why. They don't know what. They don't know what's going on. They just have heard what they needed to hear from God, which is the Lord needs it. And so they are obedient, which tells us our obedience should never be dependent on us knowing the outcome or the why. I don't know about your obedience, but my obedience can totally be dependent on the outcome and why. I'm a rebel by nature. Hate rules. Speed limit is 45. I will go 46 on purpose. I mean, just don't you tell me what to drive. Drives my wife nuts. I hate rules. I just don't like them. You know, why is that? Because I have a rebel heart. I want to know why. What is my motivation? Why should I do what you're telling me to do? What's the outcome? If I do what you tell me to do, before I do it, I need to know the outcomes here, right? You ever remember when your mom would ask you to do something? You know, hey, I need you to go do this. And you would have the audacity to go, why? You know, and what would her response be? Well, some moms in the house have said that already this week. Because I said so. You didn't say it the way you normally say it. Yeah, and then what would happen for that small percentage of child that would dare, you know, sass back? Because you said so, what? What would happen after that? Yo, some of you just don't want to out your moms. You're like, she's with me, Jim. She's with me. Don't want to make mama look bad. I'll go ahead and tell you about my mama because she's not here. What my mom would do, if you ask why and you sassed her back, she was classic thrower. I don't know if some of you guys grew up with throwing mamas. Some of you didn't, and it shows. But I grew up with a throwing mama, and her favorite thing to throw was the salt shaker. And man, she you know Nolan Ryan? Yeah, anyway, he's a pitcher. I mean, she would get this salt shaker and she would just hum that puppy. And she could literally make it go around a corner. Some of you moms could do this with shoes, but she would do it with a salt shaker. And literally, this is all the truth. I have been hit with salt shakers so many times. For her birthday one year, I got her plastic ones. I went to the grocery store, bought her, and I tested them on myself. And I was like, oh, these are my mama's salt shakers. And I gave them to her and she did not appreciate my gift or my humor, but I was happy. And I hid those glass salt shakers that she had. Anyway, what was the point? Okay, the point, here it is. The point about obedience, right? The point is simply this. With God and his word, it doesn't matter why. Like sometimes we do that. We treat God like we treat our mom sometimes. Why? Why do I do it? I need to know the outcome. I need to know what my motivation is. And with God and his word, honestly, it doesn't matter why. God has asked us to do some things. He's asked us to step in. He's asked us to lead in. And it doesn't matter the why. There used to be a saying that said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Which is nice, fits on a t-shirt really well, but it's not very biblical. The truth is, God said it, that settles it. I mean, that's the real truth. My belief is not the critical factor here. My level of understanding of what God is doing isn't the critical factor here. Now, it is always good to lean in and learn about God's heart. That's why we're here. Why does God ask us to do these things in Scripture? Well, let's learn. Let's get into His heart. Let's understand. Learning and understanding about God helps us understand some of the things He's asked us to do. Absolutely, 100%. But our obedience should never be dependent on us knowing what God is trying to accomplish. And that's a real piece of the story that sometimes gets missed. I try to be in control, I try to control everything. God, I'll do it if I understand it, but it's not about my control. This is about King Jesus. And when He speaks, when He calls, what do? We follow. And that's a piece of the lesson of this donkey. It just so blows me away. There's so much here about what's happening in this owner and this donkey's life. And there's one more thing, why? Jesus walked on water. Surely He can walk a quarter mile to Jerusalem. So why the donkey? Why is He asking for this? What's going on here? Well, Jesus is trying to communicate a message. This moment He's having is a teaching moment for everyone in Jerusalem. And let me read John chapter 12, verse 14 that explains it. All the Gospels record this story, and John actually explains the donkey just a little bit. Here's what he says in John 12, verse 14. And Jesus found a young donkey, and He sat on it, and He rode it into town, just as it was written in Zechariah hundreds of years before. He's an Old Testament prophet, that Jesus was fulfilling this prophecy. Verse 15, the prophecy is this: Fear not, daughter of Zion, for behold, your king is coming, and He's sitting on a donkey. He's sitting on a donkey's colt. This is Jesus's moment to simply communicate this message: I am the one you're looking for. I mean, everybody was looking for something in Jesus' day. Who's going to be the leader? Who's our Messiah? When is He going to show up? When is He going to get here? And Jesus, riding into town, is taking this Old Testament prophecy, and He's pointing everyone to Himself by saying, I am the Messiah. I'm the guy you're looking for. Now, some people had seen Jesus and said, oh yeah, He's a good man. Well, He's more than a good man. He was actually a perfect man. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Some people knew Him as an awesome teacher. He was constantly confounding the Pharisees with the wisdom of God. They're like, man, He's a good man. He's an awesome teacher. But Jesus Himself took it further and said, listen, I'm more than just a good man. I'm more than just an awesome teacher. I am the Son of God. And in this moment, He's declaring Himself as He's riding into town on this donkey, fulfilling these prophecies that every Jewish person would know in Zechariah. Oh yeah, this Old Testament prophecy is from Zechariah, and Jesus is fulfilling it. That means He is the guy. And Jesus is saying to these folks, I'm the one you're looking for. You don't have to look any further. You don't have to go running after this or running after that. And you might not understand the next few days of what's going to happen at the cross. You might not understand what's going to happen there, but you hang with me. Easter is coming. Sunday is coming. Resurrection is coming. And then I'll show you the true power and nature of God. In fact, if it wasn't so, Jesus had a chance to get out of this. He ends up before Pilate on Friday morning. So He's there before Pilate early Friday morning, and Pilate actually wants to release Him. Pilate thinks He's innocent. He says, I haven't done anything wrong, bro. And Jesus could have absolutely said, hey, this whole thing is a mistake. I'm just a man. You got the wrong guy. But Jesus doesn't say any of that. When Pilate asks this question, are you a king? How does Jesus respond? You're right. You're right in saying I'm a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. And everything turns on that statement. My kingdom is not of this world. Jesus is king, no doubt about it. He's the one that everyone's looking for, but His kingdom is not of this world. If you've ever wondered how on Palm Sunday people can grab branches and wave them and shout, Hosanna, Hosanna on Sunday, but by Friday line the same streets and shout, crucify Him, crucify Him. If you ever could wonder how that turn happens, it happens because people did not get that truth. The truth that Jesus' kingdom was not of this world. Those same people that were shouting, Hosanna, were looking for a king. They were looking for a physical kingdom. They were looking for someone to rescue them from Roman rule. We hate Rome. Jesus, you got right into town and just take out Pilate and you know, call down your angels, do your thing. Get us out from under Roman rule. No, get us out from under taxation. Rescue us from all this physical oppression. Fix all that mess out there. But that's not what happened here. When Jesus didn't do those things, when Jesus started pushing into the brokenness of their heart, when he started saying, hey, you look great on the outside, but on the inside, you're like empty graves. There's nothing but just death that goes there. When he tried to show them that he came to rescue people, not from Rome, not from taxes, not from oppression physically, that he came to rescue them from themselves and their own sin, they didn't like it. That's not what I want. I'm not broken. I'm not messed up. Jesus is not about me. Have you seen my neighbor? You know, let's deal with this. Jesus was like, no, you don't understand. I came to deal with this. I came to deal with what's going on in your heart, in your life. And what did they do for that? They crucified him for it. And they started looking for someone else to save him or to save them. And the same thing honestly happens today. I did my own heart and life. It happens to us. You know, we want Jesus to fix the problems out there. We want to make the world better, you know, fix those people, take care of those issues. You know, do your thing out there, Jesus. But the truth is, the reality is that Jesus always starts in here. He starts in us. He starts with us. Because we can't have the kingdom of God without surrendering to the King. Do you get that? Everything that's amazing about the kingdom of God and its truth and its glory and its grace and its mercy and its hope and its majesty, that all the things that we want, we can't have the kingdom of God until we surrender to the King, until King Jesus is here. And what does he do? He brings his kingdom, because his kingdom is not of this world, it's of this world. And he changes our heart and he changes our lives. And so one of the challenges that Palm Sunday brings to us is the challenge of choice. You know, not just being the people that wave the palm fronds on Sunday saying, woo, you know, Hosanna to the King, but willingly following that King to the cross and understanding it's for our good and looking for Resurrection Sunday and not shouting, crucify him, actually shouting, save me. Making that choice. If you don't know Jesus that way, then we got folks here to pray with you. There's folks in the prayer room that absolutely would love to pray with you to introduce you to Jesus Christ as King today. We'll baptize you next Sunday even if you want to. You let them work and speak to who Jesus is in your life. But there's even a message here for those of us that are Christians, that are Christ followers. It's a message of obedience. Story of Palm Sunday has these pieces of obedience woven in and out, and not obedience in the big things, but just obedience in the little bitty things. The Lord has need of it. I don't understand. It doesn't matter. You got it, Jesus. And maybe there are areas in your life where God is kind of pressing in, saying, hey, I want to work. I need this. I need to do these things. And we might not understand why he says what he says. There may be some things that we even don't like. I don't like that your word says that. I don't like it. And we just have to surrender it. Not maybe even understanding why, but trusting God's heart, that he loves us and cares for us and wants the best for us. And we lean into this journey with him as he fleshes everything out. Because again, it's not about us and about us being king. It's about his kingdom and his kingship in our lives. And so let that message of Palm Sunday be the message that settles into your heart and your life. It's been a good message for me this week as I've leaned into the obedience of just God. It's about you, not about me. And letting him work in my own heart this morning. Amen? Amen. I'm going to pray for us. And like I said, the prayer room is open. If you want to pray, if maybe you want to talk to God right now, let him do some work in your own heart and life. I've lost some of obedience. I want to get back to that. letting his grace and his mercy flow over each of us. Let's pray. Father, we love your heart for us, your passion for us. We love that you do just wild things, and we don't even know how you're working, you know, but you're just doing things to set pieces up for your glory and your honor. And so let us be people of yes, Father, before we even know the question, let our answers be yes. Yes to your work in our heart, yes to your work in our life, yes to the things you're calling us to do. There's anyone in here that doesn't know you as Savior? God, let their yes be just, I surrender to the King, the great and good King, Jesus Christ. Father, but most of all, you just pour your grace and mercy on us because we're also a people of grace. We're people who need your mercy. You just wash that over us and our faults and failures and let us renew our passion for you, our commitment to you. God, you do your work in our hearts and know that we love you and that we care for you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed today's podcast, don't forget to subscribe and share it with a friend. A special thanks to those of you who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that this ministry is possible. If you'd like to find out more information about giving or to see what's going on in the life of our church, please visit us at fccsantamaria.org. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.